Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the weekly Clay County Corner Show that comes to you live and in living color right here from the one of the old corner offices room of the historic Clay County Courthouse. And got an interesting show lined up this morning. Miss Beverly Hollyfield is here. She's going to be talking about the Clay County Museum and her new position there. Kind of, I guess this might be a good time. I know she's been with us here in town for a little while. Worked volunteer work over at the chamber for a while, but I don't know where she's ever been really properly introduced to everyone and tell us about her and what she's doing back here in Clay County and Salina and these type things. And then, of course, with the museum and the work she's got going on over there and some of the changes and some of the things you can do, see, and touch and feel, some of them. So we'll be talking about that just a little bit. And I guess remind everyone that got a basketball game at home tomorrow night with Clark Range. And I think maybe in the first statewide poll, our boys basketball team, I think maybe we're ranked number two again. So we're kind of hanging around up at the top again this year. And we've got and our girls basketball team been doing real good. I think maybe they're on top in the district right now at the very beginning. So we got our sports going on. And I believe it's not this week, but here in a couple of weeks, we've got the group of the 4-H group that went out to Phoenix, Arizona and won the national livestock judging contest out there. They're going to come in and tell us all about their, I think they were going out there about a week and they did a lot of sightseeing and stopped at a lot of agricultural places on the way out and the way back. And they're going to come in to fill us in on all that. So we got that one coming up and just, got our birthday and anniversaries today. We'll be reading those off about halfway through the show. And of course, before we go much further, we want to thank the folks that make this show possible here each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. And I think we'll have our rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. And we get these things streamed on the Del Hollow Horizon website. So there's lots of chances to listen to us. And we really appreciate the Chamber of Commerce, the three-star committee, and all the great folks that advertise on this show that make all this possible. And give you all the pleasure of hearing us each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock. And with that, we'll take a little short break, work in a few words from our sponsors, and be back, and we'll talk to Miss Beverly here in a minute, and we'll get started up. With that, we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card. by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, it's great to be able to come into your living room, your dining room, your kitchen, wherever you're sitting, and lean back with your cup of coffee. And want to remind everyone again that we're now on the alternate radio station. We're not on WVFBM right now, so, you know, tell your folks to turn over to 102.7 to listen to us right now until we get our tower back up, and hopefully we'll get it back up here before long. Getting pieces in at the time, so we'll have it back up and going here maybe in a little while. But you can listen there for the show each Thursday morning. Good morning, Beverly.
Good morning.
I have Miss Beverly Hollyfield here with us, and she is a recent citizen of the county here.
True, very true.
I want to give her a little bit of a chance to do some family background today, and how she wound up back here, and why, and some of the things she's been involved in with maybe the old family residence and things like that. Her official title now is the curator or the
president.
President of the Clay County Museum, and I know she's been working hard on getting it more available to our folks here, visitors that come by, our citizens here, to come in and can do research and just, if you have a curiosity about what this place was like many years ago, this is a great place. And I guess the schedule now depends on if you see Beverly's car in the parking lot.
Well, we are going to open for standard hours on Friday and Saturday, starting January 27th. And then, of course, anytime anyone wants to come by, they can either call me and I'll give you my number later, or call the museum and we're glad to open it. But then, too, if my car's there, please stop.
Okay. Now, tell a little bit of your background, Beverly.
Okay. Well, my family is from Salina and has been in the county for way over 200 years. My family were the Markhams, the Dales, were the two primary, my grandparents and my great-grandparents. And the log house on Gainsborough Highway was built for my great-great-grandmother. And as many people know, Cordell Hull actually stayed in the log house when he was going to school at Montvale Academy. I've been working on it to try and taking it back to the logs and all the rooms that are log. It's absolutely a wonderful structure and still very sound. So Salina is home. It is the foundation of my life, because my family has been here for so long.
And so you're going to be living in a museum, maybe? Are you going to?
Probably so at some point. I would prefer to live in the log house. We do have a new structure that my dad built for my mom back in 1996.
Yeah.
And Mom and I both would have preferred to live in the log house, and I would love to live in the log house today. It's quite livable. It's quite livable.
Yeah, I know we've had folks living in it up until just...
Mm-hmm. Up until probably about 3 years ago, maybe four, At that time, I told Mom I did not want to rent it anymore. I wanted to start working on it to restore it.
So it has stayed in the family hands the whole time?
The whole time.
Even though we had people that were living there?
Right. It never changed hands. It went from my great-great-grandmother to my great-grandmother to my grandfather. And then it came down to my mom and her sister, and then mother was able to purchase the whole farm and keep it. And then it came to my brother and I, and then I asked my brother if I could purchase his side and keep it in our family.
And you have someone to pass it on to, I guess.
I do. My son loves Salina, Tennessee, and I see him and his family at some point coming here to live.
Okay, now tell us a little bit about your background, Beverly.
As far as my work life, my career was spent over 40 years in the telecommunication industry. I was either with Southern Bell, Bell South, and AT&T. I retired from AT&T as the president of a small business division in which I worked with small businesses to help them grow and build loyalty with their customers, which was absolutely wonderful.
So in the country music song, you would have been called one of the Bells of Southern Bell.
That's right. That is very, very true, Thomas. Very true.
So you have quite a bit of experience in the business world.
Yes.
Looking at that, through the years you were there and the great changes mm-hmm. that were made in that business.
It was incredible. It was incredible. And all the way up into Bell South, it was almost still like a family business. And we loved our customers and our small businesses just as though they were family. We got a little big when it went to AT&T, but they still have a focus on their small business.
Okay, and so you started all the way back to the crank phones and...
I started with a switchboard. I was a switchboard operator when I was in high school. And a switchboard being you had these long cords that you would plug people in. So, yes.
Yeah, we had the switchboard here in one of the buildings here in Salina, and I believe maybe someone in the Overstreet family, I think, maybe operated that thing here.
Well, that's exactly what I did when I was in high school.
So you started at the ground and worked up.
I did. Alexander Graham Bell and I weren't best buddies, but we were close.
It sounds like, you know, an interesting life. And, of course, now you're in a little bit slower area. I think you lived in the Atlanta area for
about 37 years and then came here.
So it's not much easier to get through Salina with the log trucks, but it's not hardly big a distance to get through it, is it?
That's true, but it's a wonderful community, and it's so warm and caring, and I think that's the beauty of Salina is the people that are here.
Some of your recent relatives here that some of the folks might be familiar with, one of our characters that had the store down on the corner.
Yes. My grandparents, both of my great-grandparents had a store on the corner of Lake Avenue and Brown Street. One great-grandfather was John Plumley Dale. Most people called him Plum, and he had a grocery store.
Right, Plumdale's Grocery Store.
Mm-hmm. And the other one was W.A. Markham, and he had the kind of furniture, food. He did a little bit of everything, but just mainly furniture in the one on the other corner.
Right, that's still here today. Both of them still here today.
Yeah, and my great-grandfather, W.A. Markham, was one of the initial founders of the bank, Salina Bank.
Right, which was next door to his store.
Yep.
I guess maybe the theater was between them two there one time.
I think it was, yeah.
And I think now, were you related to Mr. Roy Rawhide White?
I absolutely was. I love Mr. Roy Rawhide White. He was my stepfather, and he was absolutely a personality that everyone should have found.
One of our characters, and there's still lots of tales going around.
One of the most unforgettable characters, as Reader's Digest would say. Someone should write a story about Rawhide.
Yes. Okay, now, let's talk a little bit about, you know, I guess you and the museum, you know, your path to that.
Well, I first came back, and the one thing I wanted to do, and I knew I wanted to do when I came back to Salina, was to be involved in the community and do anything I could to history. Mary Lloyd asked me one day, why didn't I come and sit on a board meeting and just see what I thought? And the more I got there, the more I was around Mary Lloyd and learning about the history of Salina and Clay County, I knew it was a passion that I had to follow. So when she decided to retire, they asked if I would consider being an interim president of the museum, and so I said yes.
Okay, and from there, now, mm-hmm. just when you walked in there and looked around and thought, I'm in charge of this thing now. What am I going
to
do?
I panicked initially. I will have to say I panicked. We are working diligently to kind of catalog things. Mary Lloyd had an inventory done several years ago, but it had it needed to be redone, so we have someone that's going to be working on that for us to do an inventory of what we have and also to decide the best way to display it. One of my greatest concerns is the Cordell Hull Law Office. It has deteriorated quite a bit, and I want to try to get it in better shape to the point that we can use it for either displaying some of our materials that we have or to display art from people within our community.
Okay, and I know that building, it had been moved a number of times, and parts of the building are no longer there. It really is just kind of a facsimile of the original old...
It's a shell, basically.
Yeah, right, and I think part of the building is missing and mm-hmm. just things like that. But the main part is there, and it is the place where he opened his law practice.
Right.
And, of course, we're sitting in the place where he practiced law, mm-hmm. a whole lot of it. And, you know, that is one of our... you know, our cherished citizens here, our historic citizens here that was, he wasn't born here. I mean, I think that's about the only claim Pickett County's got to him.
Right.
He was born up there.
Very nice museum up there for him. But yes, and that's one of the things I think the law office, even in its state right now, it is a precious thing for us to have. It's a precious.
And, you know, I know a lot of times when folks come by to visit here, they can tell you, we go up and look at the courtroom up there, and I tell them, you know, hey, you can go back here and sit down in the place where a Nobel Peace Prize winner sat.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of them know who Cordell Hull was, but they really don't have the history of his connection to Salina and Clay County and this area.
Very true, and I think that's something we want to try to make better known among our own community. I would say that there are a lot of children today that don't realize that Cordell Hull was really a part of this community and what he did as far as the United Nations and what he did for us in government.
You know, and I know that his niece, who was his secretary for years, actually came back to Clay County and lived here for a number of years. I guess that's been maybe 30, 40 years ago. They still had I think she still owned the Hull Farm.
In Byrdstown?
No, here in Clay County.
Oh, in Clay County.
Yeah, up the Kittle Creek area up in there. She had a farm up there. Catherine, I believe, was her name.
Mm-hmm,
I know she had a daughter that went to high school here for a little while. So, and I think she comes back to visit her once in a while. I think she even did a couple of years of scholarships in Cordell Hull's name and her mother's name. So we do have that connection here, and we know that he, like so many folks, when they went down the river, and he wound up, you know, most of his adult life when he wasn't in Washington, D.C., living in Smith County. So, and we just, well, this old Upper Cumberland has the, you know, he's part of the Upper Cumberland. And I think, you know, maybe during the Spanish-American War, he organized a battalion or a group of, a company of men here in Clay County that were, I don't know where they ever made it down to the war. But I know that, you know, I think there's some pictures of that. So there's just lots of things with him. And so I'm sure that, you know, there'll have to be a section there of just stuff about Cordell Hull.
Yes, and we recently, Sean Bailey recently gave us a two-volume history, a book about Cordell Hull. He donated it to the museum, and so we have that. We have a couple of other things about him, but yes, that needs to be a primary focus of the law office.
Okay, I'll tell you what, let's take a little short break, and we'll come back and continue on with some of the other things there.
We'll
be right back. Mm-hmm.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. I've been sitting here. Beverly and I have been talking for a little while, and I know she, I guess we were introduced in a very early period of her time back, and we have talked about a lot of things and been involved in a few things, and I guess, you know, over at the museum, I guess, you know, maybe some of the artifacts and things that you have there. I know, let's talk a little bit about the collection of newspapers.
We have the Fisk Bugle, going back to, oh goodness, I don't have the date here, but we do have it there that people can actually, we actually have the newspapers, but they have been put on microfilm so people can come in and search through the microfiche and the microfiche machine. But there's a huge, probably, I want to say, oh goodness, Thomas, I can't tell you the exact date it goes back to, but I'll find out for you.
So it goes back a long, long, long way. And the editor of that magazine or that newspaper was?
His name was Fisk.
Yeah. Was it Moses?
Moses Fisk. I'm sorry, it just left me completely. Moses Fisk, yes.
Which has quite a tie to Salina.
Right, and we also have, we have a book about him in the museum. We have several items that people could come in and browse through or even purchase, but we do have Moses Fisk, a book about Moses Fisk there.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about him then?
No, I don't know that much about him yet, but I will.
But I think from things that I read through the history, I think that he was from New England when he, when they came down here. We do know that the city of Salina was named after his daughter.
Yes.
And that I guess she had property in Salina across from where the old high school is, right in there, I believe, had a boarding house there. I can remember that old building when I was in high school back in the 60s. But you know, quite a bit of history there, and also a lot of history there, that family with the Fisk Academy, which was a school for, I believe, school for young ladies,
mm-hmm.
over in edge of Overton County, which we were a part of at that time. So, I guess we hold a little bit of claim to him. another famous building here, and that is the Roberts Cabin. We have
a portion of the Roberts Cabin. You know, it's not the full cabin, but it's on. We have a display outside the museum, and that is a small structure that's built from logs from that cabin.
And it seemed like I can remember the pile of logs being... the field here when I was very, very young.
We lost so much history, you know, with people not realizing how important that it was. And so, yes, that that cabin, you know, what they could find left of it, they took and built the structure so that we would know about it.
And I believe, is there a replica of it over in Standing Stone Park?
No, I don't know.
I'm not sure about that either. I know it was over kind of over in that area there where it was at. Okay. What about, do you have any other newspaper access, or do you have any of the old Salina Globes? Or
we have a few, yeah. And like I say, one of the things we're doing right now is kind of going through and seeing just exactly what we do have and, you know, cataloging it so that when people come in, we can be able to show them where it is or how to read it while they're there.
Okay, and I know Mr. Peake, who published a paper here for a number of years.
Right.
And I know I can't think of all the different newspapers we've had here, but there have been quite a few. And that's something, too, you know, if sometime or other, I know Beverly would really appreciate it if you run across an old trunk somewhere or another that's got some old newspapers in it or anything like that that you would like to either loan or donate to the library.
Yeah. We would love it. And we occasionally get people coming in with different things, whether it's photographs of times past, the old Pan Am gas station. Someone recently gave us a photograph of her father standing in front of that gas station. Anything that deals the history of Salina and Clay County, we would welcome the opportunity to have it in the museum, either on loan or if you want to gift it to the museum, that too it would be wonderful.
And you're equipped where you can scan things and
yes.
Don't have to leave them if you don't want to.
That's true. Very true. If you want to take them back, we do have a wonderful scanner, a very high-tech scanner that we can scan things and then give you the documents back.
Okay. Now, let's start at the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that are there right now that you have got cataloged and let's just kind of go through some of those.
I think one of the things that's very, very interesting when you first come in the front door and turn to the left, Mary Lloyd had built a history of the early days of Salina and some of the rivers and some of the river boats. And actually, there's a picture of the log house there. And it starts out with the beginnings of Salina. Then we have a self-player piano that came to Salina. It actually was brought here on a riverboat. And we have that. We have a lot of Dr. Sidwell's medical instruments. We have a lot of military, some uniforms and some either certificates or different kinds of medals. We have a loom that is there that Roy Henson, I believe, loaned the museum and has not been gifted to the museum, but we have a full loom there that was actually even being used back in 1976, but that is a huge loom. It's a big one. It's not like anything small. We have photographs, of course, and we have, I'm trying to think of so many different things. We have a mattress that was actually made here back in the day that they were making mattresses here and sewn in a certain way. That's here. So there's many, many artifacts there.
Okay. And I guess I'm trying to think, you know, public access, you know, kind of what do you have in mind for that? I mean,
right now, just to see interest in the museum and hopefully to build interest, we are going to, like I say, we're going to be open Fridays and Saturdays starting January 27th from 12 to 4. Those hours are not set in stone. If we find that the community would like to come in earlier in the day or if we can bring school students in at certain times, we're making provisions to do that, to be there and be able to let people access it at any point that they want to. They may call me directly if they happen to have visitors. One of the things we found is people will have family coming in from out of town, and they'll want to come in and look around and want to be able to show some of the things about the history of Clay County. They can simply call me or call the museum, either one, and we will be glad to open it at any time that someone would like to come.
Okay, now, probably what's the most interesting thing there that you have found?
It would be between the Cordell Hull history that we have, the different things. There is actually a bench that came from the original courthouse here that's in there. It's in the Cordell Hull part, which is not available right now because we're working on that door, but it's actually the bench, the judge's bench, from here in this courthouse, I am told. And I get the instruments, the medical instruments that are there from Dr. Sidwell. You just get wrapped up in it when you're there, and you know it's really hard working there because I find myself picking up something and getting all enthralled with it and not getting anything done. But I would say the medical instruments I found very interesting, and the Cordell Hull information extremely interesting. Working on, we do have books about the different cemeteries, about where the war between the state soldiers are buried here in the county, and so. Everything's interesting, Thomas.
Okay, books. Mm-hmm. What kind of?
We have a lot of history books. We have books about Clay County. We have books about Willow Grove. We have, of course, as I mentioned, we have a book about Moses Fisk. We have pictorial pictures of Clay County books. We have a lot of things for sale, as you would expect. We have books, the pictorial history of Clay County, and another book about just Clay County history, and then we have some prints of some of the things like the Whittlers and those things. So we have, and then we have access to a lot of other, the microfilm has things on it. There's some death records. The library just recently gave us a lot of their microfilm because they didn't have a place for it at the library. So we haven't had a chance to catalog that yet, but it's also, it's like death records, marriage records, and things like that, too.
Okay. What about the public? I think there have been a couple of histories of Clay County that are published, Salina, that have been published. Do you have copies of those?
We do. We have, there was one by Landon Anderson. Uh-huh. Landon wrote a book. We have a copy of that. We do have some of those, but not as many as I would like, so we're still searching for more. If anybody has one within their family and would like to donate it or loan it to the museum, we'd love to have it.
And anyone that has any type of diary?
Yes, that would be wonderful. An old Bible. We have a couple of old Bibles that are just fascinating.
Okay, I'm going to read our birthdays, come back, and I know we've got some more things to talk about, but right now we've got celebrating birthdays today, Miss Erica Melton Adams, Therese Kazlikowski. That was always a, when the family moved in here, we as teachers had problems spelling their names to begin with, let alone learning to pronounce, but we'd like to wish her a happy birthday, and Mr. Joe Sims, a retired coach of Salina High School and Salina K-8, and Miss Margie Boone, and Mr. Ray Likens. These folks are celebrating birthdays today, and we'll be giving away one of our wonderful birthday prizes here at the end of the show by our highly sophisticated non-computerized system of choosing a number or drawing out a number, and we'll take care of that. And with that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll come back and continue on with our conversation.
Thank you.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Absolutely.
Welcome back, everyone. Beverly, what you got anything there in your notes that you want to, that's kind of jumping off at you?
Well, just a couple of things. I want to thank everyone who helped with the museum festival last August. It absolutely was successful, and it was successful because of the people in Salina. So get ready. We're going to be having another one this year, and we may be working with the courthouse, trying to put something together where we're celebrating the city of Salina, the courthouse, the museum, and different things, and that will be August the 5th this coming year. Keep in mind that we will be open to the public on Friday and Saturday starting January 27th from 12 to 4 each day. However, we are available should anybody want to come to the museum because you have visitors in town. Just give us a call. We'll be glad to come and open it. I'm 2 miles down the road, if that much, and I can get there within a few minutes. We're beginning to plan our activities for 2023, and we're looking at hopefully doing work on the Cordell Hull Law Office. If anybody's been by and noticed that it's boarded up, the reason for that is that we're having the door refinished so that it will be preserved for history and it won't be destroyed by the weather. As everybody knows, we are a nonprofit. We rely totally on donations, the community, local businesses, volunteers. So anybody wanting to volunteer or anything, please, please get in touch. We would love to have you. And as you can tell from our interview this morning, I'm there's a lot about the history that I do not know yet, but I hopefully will become more and more well-versed in our history.
Okay, and I know Beverly and I were talking off camera, and we're looking at the idea, and that is we're getting ready to celebrate the 150th birthday of this courthouse, and we're thinking that it may be a combination of celebration that might be done every year from now on.
I think that's an excellent idea, Thomas, and I think because we both have a love for history and preserving our history and saving it for future generations and helping them learn from the past, I would love to be a part of that.
And we were looking at it the same way, too. We would love for you to be a part of it because, we're all history, and, of course, this is one of, the focal point of things that are left from the original city, town of mm-hmm. Salina. Most of the older buildings are gone, the original buildings, thanks to some fires over the years. And, you know, we kind of had this thing here for a number of years when we would get, we just got a big rumble of thunder here, when we got something new, we couldn't wait to get the old, what we thought was an eyesore, out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost a lot of buildings.
Lots.
Because, you know, I know, just growing up here, I can remember the boathouse, the boat home, with the old, great big old house that was here.
Well, the movie theater.
The movie theater. Of course, the movie theater is still here. It's just hid.
Still there, yeah.
And I think maybe the seats may still be in that thing. I'm not sure on that.
Oh.
And the bench you talked about, is that one of the pew benches, or was it? Mm-hmm. For the, okay, have you looked at the bottom of it?
No, I have not.
When this courthouse was originally built, the courtroom floor was slanted.
That's right.
And the benches were cut at an angle where they would fit on the floor. But when they floored it, they added wood to the bottom of those so they would set level.
I'll have to look at that.
So check that out and see that. That's an interesting tidbit about this place. Okay, now, and I don't want folks to really understand really was all the things you've got there. I know we've talked about a few of the things, but if you're interested in doing, doing family history.
We are thinking about having like a class on genealogy. We're working with one of the local historians to see if he possibly would lead just a short class, maybe a day or something, where people can come in and to the museum and have it there. Where people can learn about genealogy and looking back at history.
Okay, and more on the artifacts there. There's just hundreds and hundreds of things. I mean, off the top of your head or whatever, just go down through some of the things that are there.
There's some farm equipment there, which, like a hay baler. Not a hay baler, but like different pieces of farm equipment that we've got there. There are benches from the courthouse, but then there's also the judge's bench, which was at the front of the courthouse, head of the courthouse. I think of the many things. We have a bell there that we ring. Usually we ring it at the museum festival days. It's a very old farm bell that has been there for years.
I believe that came from Tinsley's Bottom.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have that there. And so we have a lot of photographs. I mean, the thing is come in and look through some of the books at some of the old photographs that we have. That's exciting. And hopefully, in many cases, we try to find out who the people are in the pictures so that we can note it. And then you may find one of your grandpas or great-great-grandpas, in my case, that's in the picture there.
And I know that there's a collection there of old fire books. For the
yes.
county fair here.
Yes, the county fair books. We have those. We have maps. We have maps of the lake. We have a lot about Willow Grove and about when the dam came in and about the flooding of Willow Grove. I wish we were looking to find more history on Willow Grove. And one of the people that came in recently was asking about what they called tent graves or comb graves, where there was kind of a structure on top of a grave. And they say that there were some at Willow Grove. And so anytime we get a question, we try to go in and research what the answer is to that.
I know there are pictures of those, and I know that I think there's one of those cemeteries that over in Standing Stone Park on the other side over there where they still did that.
Right. There are some there, but this was particularly interested in Willow Grove, and I really don't know. So we're hoping to find some pictures of those when they were at Willow Grove.
Okay. Do you have copies of Miss Nivens' books?
No.
Okay.
I have one. I do not have the Willow Grove one, and it's out of, if anybody has that book and would be willing to sell it to me personally, I would love to have her Willow Grove book.
I have one of those, okay. And I'll see if I can get that over to you. One of them is when after the family went and moved to Kentucky.
Right.
And the other one is when they were actually leaving up there. I'll see that you get that one.
Okay. Because that absolutely is a book that I would like to have.
And, people like her that are not going to be with us forever. And, she would be a great, great spokesperson to bring in there and have her there to do a public meeting and talk to folks about Willow Grove.
And I think she would do it.
I know she would.
Yeah,
I would love
to have her there. And that is one of the things we want to do. And even have potentially have some music there. By that, I have a cousin that does Dulcimer music. If we have somebody sit on the porch and be playing a dulcimer, we want to do things to draw people to the museum.
You know, and of course, one of our former citizens here, Mr. Ray Hundley,
mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you even remember him or not, but his Mr. H.C. Hundley's one of his oldest sons. I'm not sure if he's still with us or not, but I know he built dulcimers all of his life and played with the Nashville Dulcimer Band.
Wow.
And I know he would. He and his wife would come up to the park and with their camper every year, and I could always tell when he was there because he would be down on one end of the park with his dulcimer out playing.
And the music is beautiful from a dulcimer.
Yeah.
My cousin actually builds dulcimers now, too. It has been for many, many years. But one of the things I have tried to find, and Thomas, we might fight over this, I have been wanting to find some of the old instruments. Old musical instruments that people might have that we could display. And it might be displayed at the courthouse, it might be displayed at the museum, but I would love to have some of the old musical instruments. My grandmother played something called a jitterbug. June bug.
Okay, a June bug was kind of a type of mandolin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I would love to find something like that to have. I'd like to have a section either here at the Quip, I'll share with Thomas, either the courthouse or the museum, where we have
well,
some of those old instruments.
Of course, we're looking at, you know, having a room for cultural exhibits here where, mm-hmm. or for local artists that would come in, besides our having our marble museum and our boutique that year. We hope to keep
right.
them for a little while because we've had lots of folks coming into that. But, you know, there are so many things. And also, there's another interesting artifact that you have outside up there, an old tractor.
We do, that actually came from Willow Grove, as I understand it. It was recovered from there.
Yeah, I think some of the divers found mm-hmm. saw parts of it that was out of the water. And
brought it up.
And then they went down and floated it up to the top, and it's there now.
It is, and it's really an interesting piece is to go out there and to look at that.
I believe I think maybe it was a steam.
Mm-hmm. It was steam.
A steam
yeah.
tractor. Of course, I'm kind of partial to those things because I've got a couple of pictures of Mr. Cordell Carter's steam-powered sawmill that was set up over on the Arcot Road back in the late 30s, early 40s,
oh.
with the mill crew standing around, not working. But, you know, and I know that was, some of those things, you know, that, like I said, the steam-powered things. And the other day, this week, I saw where Mr. Johnny McLaren, who has the store across the road, mm-hmm. he had come across a soda bottle from the bottling company here in Salina, the Lime Cola Bottling Company, owned by a gentleman's name now, that had a bottling company here. Of course, we had the bottling company on up the river up at mm-hmm. Macmillan's Landing, where the Coca-Cola came up the river and they bottled it up there. Of course, the original Coca-Cola thing, they would ship it in barrels of syrup, and it would be mixed up here at Salina. And I know he found a bottle, and I think maybe one of the cases from that.
Uh-huh.
His story is kind of a museum. Probably not, but you know, his story is kind of a museum of a lot of things over there. And not just a lot of stuff in there is not for sale. It is for, you know, viewing only.
Yeah.
And I guess we could call it maybe kind of a subsidiary of the Clay County Museum.
It is a museum in itself when you go in there.
Since he was Mary Lloyd's nephew,
yeah.
So, I mean,
It's fascinating to go in there, and you can find all kinds of things. But we'll have to ask him about that Coca-Cola bottle.
Well, it's lime cola.
Lime
cola.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a little off-colored bottle that survived.
Well, another piece of history that I would like to see us somehow bring back is the riverboats. It's about the riverboats. I think the riverboats were an intricate part of Salina and the different landings that we had here. Now, I know that Johnny McLaren, he has quite a bit about riverboats, but I would love to have some more information regarding the riverboats and how things were brought here.
Well, you know, that's something, if you do a search on certain times here in Clay County of the history, you'll ultimately always run into a riverboat schedule published down in Nashville
mm-hmm.
That tells all of the stops they make coming up the river, and I know that's something you may want to kind of investigate too, the stops they made coming up the river, how much it costs to ride.
That's the kind of thing I would really love to have, because those riverboats were really the economic vehicle that kept these communities going or brought things here. I mentioned the player piano we have that was brought by riverboat that we have in the museum. I also have one that belonged to my great-grandmother, brought here the same way, about the same time. Anything that was brought into Salina, and my great aunts, I can remember them talking about taking a riverboat to Nashville and how long it took to ride the riverboat from here to Nashville. when they were young. So there's a lot about the riverboats that I think are an intricate part of our history.
Well, you know, that's something, too. I know I had some of my ancestors actually, you know, worked the rafts going down, most like most of the people here. And the thing about that was, you know, you would get paid your check when you got down to Nashville for working all the way down on the riverboat, and you had a choice when you got there. You could walk back to Salina or ride the riverboat.
Oh.
And if you rode the riverboats, you had to pay to get back home, and it took a whole lot of your check to get home. So many of those folks actually walked back and brought artifacts with them.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I think I have a shotgun that my great-great-uncle maybe carried back from one of the trips down the river. You know, there's lots of things like that around here and lots of stories that go along with things like that.
Oh, there are, and I just think that's the piece that's going to be lost if we don't try to capture some of it. There are a few books about riverboats on the Upper Cumberland. I have one book about that. It's one that I will bring to the museum. I ordered it because I wanted to learn more about the riverboats. But I just do think these rivers, we always talk about the lake.
Okay.
And I think we've lost, you know, the rivers are intricate.
And I know we don't go up Kittle Creek.
Right.
I'm sure you probably have a copy of that over there.
I do. I ordered that one, too. And so we're trying to build a library with some of the history in it. Small, but some of the real good history books that we know
and
about.
And I guess the same, the editor of another book that is the Music of the Cumberlands,
mm-hmm.
I'm with you, by Montale. Would you have done that?
I do have that one.
That has music,
I ordered that one,
the history
too.
Of Monroe and Clay County, and they're
mm-hmm.
mentioning all of the old names here, like Mr. Poodler Raines, who fiddle played at dances and things like mm-hmm. that. And there's lots and lots of, there's information there. And I'm sure a lot of this information is there in the museum if you can find a way to get it out.
That's very true.
We have about killed an hour here. We've got a little bit more time left. Look down your list there and see what you've got that might be very interesting to folks that maybe that's not quite ready yet.
No, well, like I say, we really, one of our biggest, biggest initiatives is the Cordell Hall office. I just feel like getting that restored and using it either as more of the museum to display more artifacts, or using it as a way to display artwork from the community. And I would love to have some of the really old paintings that people have done that their families are either just going to, I don't want to say trash, but give to Goodwill or do something, because some of the old oil paintings that some of the people from here did, I don't see it as a place to sell things. I want it to be a place to show in the past. In that, it's like an art museum. It could be, and by art is everything. Art's music, art's paintings, art's, you know, it's different kinds of artifacts. It doesn't have to necessarily be a drawing or something.
Do you have any of Uncle Willie McLaren's baskets over there?
I don't, and I would love to have one. I'm hoping that I can acquire one over time to get one of his baskets.
I know that, I guess he is world famous, I guess, for those things. Mm-hmm. And I know that would be make a great exhibit there.
It would.
Maybe you need.
I think Barbara Boone might have some baskets that we could also display there, and she was related to him, as I understand it.
Yes, we're cousins, so we share Uncle Willie between us.
But so that's the kind of thing we want to put in that. And I can remember at one point it was restored, and I can remember my mother and I going in the law office many years ago. I think Francis Donaldson had it back then, and it was quite efficient. I mean, you could go in, there weren't any safety hazards or anything. So that Cordell Law Office will be one of our biggest initiatives this year, and getting more community involvement by having either the schools bringing the children there, or by people, the high school, the history class of high school, studying Clay County history.
It'd be nice if you had one of his law books, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Now, we do have medical books that belong to Dr. Sibley. We do, and it's kind of interesting to look at those medical books and see what they would do for different things in the day. Not at all what we were doing today, but probably more efficient.
Well, you know, and of course, one of the legends here is one of our doctors, it was one of the original settlers here, and that was Dr. McLaughlin.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and that's kind of strange. You know, he was, I think he was a Harvard Medical School graduate, I believe, came down here from. And a little bit of history I've read on that is the Arcot community was named after his family home in Scotland. That's where that name came from. I ran across that looking through some of those things the other day.
Well, like I say, it's easy to get wrapped up in reading the history and finding more and more facts. Please feel free to come to the museum. We would love to have anyone to come visit, either when we're scheduled to be open or when we're not. Just please stop.
And I'll say one thing, that this place is very, very interesting. And hopefully, when, like I said, Beverly's working on where you can actually go there and browse through things. And of course, there are so many things there that are so fragile, you know, you can't touch them. But there are some things there where there, like I said, some books and things there that you can sit down and read there.
Oh yes, and there's some about the cemeteries. There's some things, books on the cemeteries, where if you're questioning where's a certain cemetery, I had someone recently want to go to a cemetery, and he called and asked me if it was still there. And I found out it was still there, but I wasn't sure the condition it was in. So I drove out to it by myself and tromped through some weeds and brush and trees to find that cemetery was still there. So we have a lot about the cemeteries and where they're located.
Yeah, lots of family cemeteries in Clay County.
A lot.
People decided that they didn't want to go to a public cemetery or the church cemetery, that they wanted their folks near them.
Well, and that's true of my farm. You know, we have a cemetery on the farm that actually has a soldier buried in it, unknown. There's all kinds of folklore as to who he was and why he was buried there, but even on my family farm, there is a family cemetery.
And that is all part of our history, our tradition, and the legends in and around Clay County, and there are lots of those. And,
yes.
And we are, I know Beverly is trying, you know, investigating some of those things and, you know, trying to find out. And there are lots and lots of things yet to be learned and to get down where they can be safe for the next generation.
That's right. And get the next generation interested in our history.
Okay. I think we're about finished for the day. So I guess about one of the things we need to do is give me a number between 1 and 5.
4.
Miss Margie Boone is the winner of today's birthday prize. So you can come over to the Clay County Chamber and identify yourself. I think they might know who she is, and she is the winner of today's birthday prize. Remind everyone that we'll be back on here again next Thursday morning at 9, and with the rebroadcast this evening, and hopefully we'll have someone maybe as nearly as interesting as you have been today.
Oh, it's been wonderful, Thomas. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming by. And with that, I guess we can get the door shut here and get everything put back where it belongs. And may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. Hopefully we'll meet you again here next on the Clay County Corner next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And until then, good day, Clay County.
Good day.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.